money is the most competitive thing on earth. Not everybody wants to be a supermodel. Not everybody wants muscles, but everybody wants money.
In this episode, I sit down with the one and only Ty Lopez. He was once the most Google searched person in the entire world.
I've been the most Googled person in the world for a month. It's not a good place for your mental health.
Still has one of the most highest viewed viral videos on the internet. He's a serial entrepreneur managing multiple nine figures across 30 different companies. And in my opinion, is one of the most smartest people when it comes to nearly any topic in life.
Knowledge.
Over the next 90 minutes, you're going to consume a freaking masterclass in so many different areas of life, from wealth creation to optimizing your health, dialing in relationships, and achieving massive happiness in life.
Life is four pillars: health, wealth, love, happiness.
We talked about so many things in this episode, from things like the importance of progression through your journey as an entrepreneur.
We have a myth everybody should be entrepreneurs. That's not true. We know this at a genetic level.
The different types of hormonal personality types out there and how you can discover what your personal strengths are based off your genetics.
If genetics didn't pass on almost everything, evolution would stop working.
And I even asked him about his experience with the Illuminati and the times that he spent networking with some of the most richest people in the Hollywood Hills.
Am I in the Illuminati? If people, like 60% of people said yes. I was like, bitch, if I'm in the Illuminati.
We covered so many things in this episode, and it is 90 minutes of pure freaking gold. So buckle up, you guys are in for an amazing time. And if you're brand new to this channel, I would really appreciate it if you can go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whichever platform you're listening or watching to this on right now. It goes such a long way, and it does more than what you can even imagine in terms of growing this podcast. Because the more we grow, the bigger and the better guests that we can actually get on to help make sure that this stays high quality value for you listeners. So with that being said, the only thing I'll ever ask from you guys is just if you could subscribe so that we can help get this channel and this podcast out to more and more people. So if you can hit that button now, I'll be forever grateful. So without further ado, let's get into this episode with Ty Lopez. I want to kick off with addressing the elephant in the room. You were like one of the first biggest influencers in the space of the entrepreneur world.
Yeah.
And you've fucking crushed it. And then for the last 3, 4, 5 years,
yeah,
you disappeared.
Needed a break.
And now you're back.
But I was doing other stuff.
Where you been?
Yeah, I just needed a break from social. So being a social media influencer, I've been the most Googled person in the world for a month. It's not a good place for your mental health. You can get every whack job in the world messaging you. I had people break into my house, fans, go to prison, all that good stuff.
Really? Just weirdos.
I went to prison. Big dude. I wasn't there. Yeah. Beverly Hills Police called me. They're like, there was a dude and we got called by, I had my brother and his girlfriend staying in the house. It's a huge house. So it's 17,000 square feet. So it's seven. You can't hear everything. Of course, my brother slept through it all, but my brother's girlfriend woke up and called the police. They arrested, like 10 cops came with guns. And the guy's like, no, I'm Ty's business partner. He said I could use, he was trying to steal my cars. I had 6 cars there, trying to steal them. And then, so police called me. I was at my house in San Diego, in La Jolla. They called me, hey, is your business partner, are you giving permission to steal your car? I'm like, no, I don't have a business partner that would need my car. So that's what we thought. Call me back. 30 minutes later. Okay, he says you did a Snapchat contest. Most innovative person who can break into your house. That's literally what the cop told. I said, what do you think? So they arrested him. But he got out after a short period of time because of overcrowding. But he got like 6 counts of grand theft, larceny, stalking, whatever. I've had that more than once. I had a Mexican dude living in my guest house on my property maybe for a year. Somebody woke up, my brother was staying at my house. This is a couple, like 6 months later. Woke up at 4 in the morning for some reason, went out to my backyard, and there was a guest house where I did my jujitsu and stuff. So dude living up there for we don't know how long. He would leave every morning. So just like, now that so wasn't a fan. That was just a dude who I guess needed a place.
Yeah. Well, so just to take a break out, but now you're back in full steam. Yeah. It looks like you're.
Yeah, not full steam, but I'm. Yeah. I'm building back up to social. I mean, social media is basically warfare for attention now. So if you want to have attention, that the bar is just higher and higher now. It's like, you know,
yeah,
you have to skydive off the Empire State Building while holding a machine gun and, you know, to land on Joe Biden or something to go viral now. As opposed to like, I could just do a Lamborghini in 2015. Yeah. Like, put a Lambo in books and people were like, this shit's viral. The bar was lower and easier than now. It's just become full-on spectacle.
Mm.
So yeah.
I want to, this podcast, I want to break into three different sections because obviously we could talk about so many things with you.
Yep.
But I want to talk about three like major things I think so many people can get value from. Yep. Life, wealth, and health.
Okay.
So I want to kick off with life
first. Health, wealth, love, happiness. Yeah. You forgot happiness.
Well, we could go longer. I was just trying to also think
how, my hair how long we got crazy.
So I want to, I really want to know your perspective right now, because I'm over here in Australia. I see everything's happening over there in the world. To me, I don't know. I was telling my girlfriend the other night, I'm like, has the world gone absolutely fucking nuts lately? Or are we a little bit more biased because social media, like everyone has a voice now? What's your perspective right now of kind of like what's just the chaos in the world, especially the US? Like it feels like they're on the brink of another civil war. Like what's your perspective of just the world at the moment?
It's always the politicians making things worse. That the common man at any time is just normal trying to feed their family. So America's still, the average person in America is not worried. But now every lunatic can have a podcast. So they need podcast licenses. That's what I've decided. Whack job, you can't have one. So now there's probably the same ratio of mentally unstable people in the world as there was 200 years ago. Some things, I asked one of my mentors who's a PhD in psychology. He thinks that psychopathy is higher now. So psychopathic traits are going up. And the main reason is because the world's more urban. But people haven't changed. At a genetic level, there's still the same amount of psychopaths. But they express, you know, epigenetics, you can express your psychopathic. And if you're in large cities, when my grandma was born in 1918, there was 10% of the world lived in cities. 90% lived in farms and small villages. When she died in 2020, rest in peace, the world had flipped. It was 90% urban. So in urban environments, you can hide. Nobody, you don't know your neighbors. So it brings out the psychopath in people. That's why if you're dating in a small village, you're not going to ghost somebody because you might see them. Ghosting somebody is a psychopathic trait, higher in psychopathy. Doesn't mean you're a full-on psychopath. It's just on a Levison psychopathy test, which is like a gauge of psychopathy, leaving somebody hanging would be a trait that's slightly higher. So if you live in a small village, you're going to see the girl or the guy the next day. So you're more likely to write them back, hey, I've decided I don't want to date you anymore. Whereas in a big city, if you live in New York or LA, you just stop writing them back. So that's an example of psychopathic traits. That's not my opinion. That's Dr. David Buss, who's probably the most credible evolutionary psychologist on earth. So, but I think in general, you had psychopaths in the 1800s. You had Jack the Ripper out here murdering people in England. You had Australia, had all the prisoners. But genetically, it's not like all of a sudden Instagram or TikTok is formed and human genome changes. The genome changes at like maybe 1% per 10,000 years. So nothing, it's not like TikTok's going to turn everybody into a different, you know, person at a deep DNA level. I'm mostly interested in genetics and the unconscious mind. So I don't think the genetics have changed. But like I said, there's an epigenetic environmental thing that's happening a little bit.
What I've seen is like, and I don't know if it's the rise of social media or just because I'm in it or not, because, but it's like with podcasts, essentially, especially now, there's been so much more people that have been able to get a message out there where before the only message you could get out is from the newspapers, the news is completely controlled.
Yeah.
Now, especially since COVID, you're all these people actually speaking out and be like, no, this is fake. This is false. This is false. Yeah. This is wrong. And people getting canceled left, right, and center. People like Andrew Tate trying to speak up. There's all this chaos. And what I've seen, it's like, this is a whole world that I've dived into a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now it's like more people becoming aware and or speaking out against this other narrative that has been either silenced or made up. I don't know.
And now the world's gone from one extreme to another. Now you out of the fire into the frying pan. Because it used to be like the mass media, which is tends to be more liberal controlled. So they would put the, you know, kind of the liberal kooky agenda out. Now you're getting people that are too far the other way. Trust me, you can be kooky on both sides. In fact, an interesting study that came out in the last 2 or 3 years, I'll have to get you the link you could put in the podcast. The mental illness at both extremes of political are exact same. Narcissism, Machiavellian, psychopathy. So the most whack job woke leftist is very similar to the most whack job conservative right in America. So it's like Buddha said, you know, it's the middle way in general is true. Not always. There's times you should be an extremist. Somebody, if you got kids at home and some drug addict comes in your house, you probably should blow their brains out. That's an extreme. You don't want to have a sit down meditation with them. So there are times when extreme responses are logical. But in terms of when you're talking about complex things, which is politics, it's complicated. Is it better to be libertarian government, free laissez-faire, or be more like Sweden, which is socialist, more socialist? There's pros and cons. So I'm not sure. What I see now is the rise of confusion. Like, and take diet. I got a mentor, Dr. Sharon Molam. So he's like one of the most respected geneticists in the world. Been sitting looking at microscope to cellular level for 20, 30 years. And like what people teach about carbs, you got your extreme fruitarian vegetarians who have a big platform on YouTube. And you see this lady who's like, I think she was Australian. Who was that lady who was eating bananas all the time? And then she suddenly died.
I've seen that.
She was eating like 50 bananas or something.
She died, did she?
Or maybe didn't die, but had some health. You're going to have a health crisis.
Yeah.
You're going to lose all your teeth, for one thing, from the sugar. But anyway, there was an Australian blogger, I forget her name, who was like super extreme, fruitarian. Mm-hmm. Now you got the rise of like hardcore carnivores. Yeah. Well, the truth is, if you talk to Dr. Sharon Molam, who's unbiased, ain't selling shit. He's like, for example, carbs. You can take a saltine cracker, put it in your mouth. How long does it, it's called the saltine cracker test. It's super accurate. How quickly does it turn from salty to sweet in your mouth? So for me, it takes about 30 seconds. My brother's girlfriend takes 5 seconds. That means she has more amylase. So genetically, she can process carbs better than me. So for her, higher carb diet's healthy. For me, lower carb diet. So, but that's not being taught on social media. It's just wacky people on both sides. Everybody should have 50 trillion carbs and everybody should have, you know, carnivores essentially no carbs because meat has zero carbs. So the truth is very nuanced. And that's the problem, is that the mass media is wrong, but the response is a lot of people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about, you know, that read two articles on food and now they're dietitians versus you should talk to experts. Like I'm reading a book, I think it's called The Telomere Effect, by the woman who won the Nobel Prize for discovering telomeres' role in aging. Well, if you read her, she wrote the book because she's like, I got to respond to all these people that are saying, oh, you just take this cream or this one food and all of a sudden you're going to live, you're going to reverse aging. She's like, it's much more complex than that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if we're better off now than when we just had the MSM, mass, you know, the mainstream media. People are very, I would say we're living the age of confusion now.
Yeah. So I want to ask something. I have no idea where you're going to go with this, but I was like, because you never talk about any of this. So yeah. The backing behind this question is because all of this, what I've been talking about, is the confusion. Everyone's got a voice. Everyone's talking about things. And we have TikTok that's so heavily uncensored. And Elon Musk is buying Twitter. And this is huge.
Everything's censored. Don't think it ain't censored.
Yeah.
Everything's censored.
You've lived in Hollywood for so long.
Yeah.
You've surrounded yourself with super, 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 super mega wealthy. I want to know your perspective on right now, it feels like, and I don't know if it's just because I'm aware of it more, everyone talking about the Illuminati stuff,
right?
The elite stuff, the shit that's just happened this week with Ryan Garcia. I don't know if you've seen that.
I vaguely.
What's your
the more you look at,
the
less you look at social media, the higher your IQ will stay.
Say it again.
The less you look at social media, the higher IQ. I don't.
Yeah.
People say, but Ty, you post on social media. Yes, but I'm a drug dealer. Don't get high off your own supply. You can deal drugs, but don't be doing it yourself. So I deal social media, but I don't. I scroll about 20 minutes a day. But yes, I know vaguely what you're talking about. The people that say the Hollywood elite drinks blood and Illuminati. People used to think I'm in the Illuminati. I remember I did a Twitter poll. Am I in the Illuminati? If people, like 60% of people said yes. I was like, bitch, if I'm in the Illuminati, do you think I'm going to post a Twitter poll about it? And then people were like, but you know that. So you're throwing people off. So I used to, like, for a year, I would go like this in all my videos which apparently means you're an Illuminati, just to fuck with people. People are like, I know it. Get me views. Great. I'll deal the drugs of entertainment. But I look, my mom's a super conspiracy theorist. So I talked about you could just make up a conspiracy. I could be like, Pellegrino, mom, is sponsored by Kim Jong-un, and it's made up the tears of North Korean prisoners. My mom would be like, I could see that happening. My mom's never met a conspiracy theory she didn't like. So I'm around it a lot. I think there's some conspiracy theories I believe, like JFK probably wasn't shot by one dude. The Epstein one, I would go with that. I don't believe Epstein killed himself. That one was too many weirdo things. Like even the guy that was the...
interviewed his brother. I forget who his brother just got interviewed.
Well, the dude who did the official coroner, the guy that examines the dead body, was like, oh, this isn't likely to be done by... And then they lost the tapes. But I don't believe every conspiracy. Like, you got to be balanced. Like, some conspiracy theories are stupid. The one that I've been in business as business partners with three guys on the Forbes list in my life. Real billionaires, not like podcaster billionaires, dudes that you can Google. These guys have big ego. There's no way they're working with any other billionaire. My mom's theory is that, like, Bill Gates gets together with Elon. I'm like, Bill Gates and Elon Musk don't like each other. There's too much ego for rich billionaires to form a cartel and do shit. Trust me. I know two billionaires. I won't say who, but everybody here knows them. I once was with one, and I brought up the other dude's name because I know them both. I thought he was going to have a nerve. Just the name of the other guy, he started getting pissed. So the thought that rich dudes get together and form ritual sacrifice, I doubt it. Now, there is an unintended cartel that happens. Rich people, for the last 10,000 years, have been voting to protect their wealth, not because they like the other billionaire, but because it's self-serving for them. So there's indirect conspiracy Illuminati. I lived in Hollywood. I never saw... I remember Seth Rogen was over at my house. Seth Rogen smokes a lot of weed. That's what I think he does. Yeah, like, do I think he's out, you know, howling at the moon? I'm like, mom, maybe. Look, quantum physics is interesting. I believe my grandpa was a marine biologist, but he became an astrophysicist. And so I've always had somewhat of an interest in astrophysics. But the newest Nobel Prize, the 2022 Nobel Prize, was one for saying local realism is false, which is a very mind-blowing thing. Einstein hated the thought. It means when you look away from the moon, it disappears. And when you look back at it, it renders like a computer screen. You can Google it. Just Google Nobel Prize for 2022. This isn't fringe science. This is the top scientists in the world. There's a lot of weird things in this universe. One of them is if you measure something like an electron, the act of measuring it makes it kind of untrue. I'm oversimplifying it. Nobody knows anything. I don't know. It's possible that Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, they all get together and drink blood. But what you should do is assign everything a probability. Smart people assign things probability. Like my phone sales team, every single deal we do, they make a call. They open up a deal. I call them deals. Some people call them opportunities. I'm like, assign a probability. Smart people think in probabilities. The odds that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, I would say it's pretty high. It's probably 60% chance there's some bullshit, but I wouldn't bet my life. I talk to people that I'm like, bro, you don't know anything in life, but you know all these conspiracy there's something called Dunning-Kruger effect, which means stupid people have more confidence. Because if you're smart, you're like, oh, I don't know. Like Albert Einstein, I think he said something to the effect of, it was Plato or Socrates. You know, maybe the smartest person ever lived. Is like, the older I get, the more I learn, the less I know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But when I meet people that know, I have a friend. This dude's been broke his whole life. You start talking about politics and economics, he's got the exact answer. He's like, all right, this is the prep. I'm like, bro, you can't even pay rent. How the fuck do you know about it? Like, what are you fucking talking? You're giving financial advice? I'm like, what? It's like, I know fat people. I got a friend. He's fat. He's out. You bring up fitness advice, he's going to talk. I'm like, bro, you're fat. You got to sit this one out. So a lot of people should sit out things that you have a low probability of being accurate about, you know? Mm. And that's the problem. Now you get paid to just podcast the wackier stuff you say, the more likely. So Idiocracy is a movie that's maybe coming true.
Yeah. Okay. One of the biggest things you're talking about at the moment is finding out our motivation style. So how can we better understand ourselves to position ourselves better for success?
Genes. That's a controversial thing I say, but it's true. And it's painful, but it's true. So it's not so much finding out motivate. I mean, I built with some scientists, I built a company, 12types.com. There's a company called 16 Personalities, but it's using very outdated science. Myers-Briggs is like 1950s stuff before they had even decoded the genome. So I think there's unconscious motivators. I think genes are, look, evolution. They asked 100 smartest people in the world, what's the most profound thought in human history? And I think 96 of them said Charles Darwin's concept of evolutionary biology. So you basically have, if genetics didn't pass on almost everything, evolution would stop working, right? So the whole premise of evolution is that we have sexual reproduction and things change over time. So whether you have a temper or don't have a temper, genetic. Likelihood you're Republican or Democrat in America, very genetic. In 50 years, they're going to swipe your spit of a baby and be like, this baby's going to be a Republican. This one's going to be highly religious and have spiritual, you know, spiritual feelings. This person is going to be an atheist. This person is going to have anger problems. This one will probably be a drug addict. This will be an alcoholic. This one will be high twitch muscles, probably a pro athlete. It's like life outcomes. They're a lot of the smartest people right now, based on what we understand. The real question is, does free will even exist? And it's interesting. Some people are religious, don't like that. But if you actually study, like Christianity had a whole group of people that believed there was no free will. Calvinists. So
you're saying, so how we're born, our genes, the way we're made up has more to do with what we'll do in this life, what we'll achieve than
anything. But it's not 100%. Not everything's 100% genetic. So eye color is 100% heritable. You have zero environmental effect. So you could be born in the slums of Johannesburg. You could be born in Beverly Hills. If your parents pass on blue eyes, it's just 100%. Then there's certain things that are very environmental. Like if I break my toe is probably 90% environmental. 10% though, some people have more brittle bones. So you would say it has like 0.1 or 0.2 heritability. But things like IQ, which is the most correlated personality trait with wealth creation, is like, they used to think it was like 0.4, 40% chance. If you take 100 people, their IQs explain 40% by genetics. Now it's all the way up into the 60s and 70%. As we get better, it's going to end. I mean, you think Einstein? You think you're going to turn your kid into Stephen Hawking because you played classical music to him in the womb? No. Just like you're not going to become Shaquille O'Neal is 7'2", 220 centimeters. You think that's because he ate better than most dudes? I don't have shit to do it. Now, what environment can do is if he was starved as a baby, he could have been stunted. But his upside potential was locked in at conception. One of my mentors is a super controversial. He got canceled at one point, although he was probably right. He's in Satoshi Kanasawa. He wrote a book. He's at London Business School or London School of Economics, one of the most respected schools. But he got big time. He started talking about genetics and stuff. It was like people flipped out. But, you know, he always says, Ty, a man contributes most to his children at the moment of conception. Now, do good parents help? Yeah, good parents protect and keep it from being a downside. But good parents can't coach a kid into being Albert Einstein, Shaquille O'Neal, Ronaldo. So you're a lot of your upside. Now, some people take this negative and say, well, are you saying that not everybody can be rich, let's say? Well, everybody can be rich, but not everybody can be wealthy. There's no... The wealthiest people in the world are all extremely high IQ, assuming they didn't inherit the money. What is Elon Musk, Bernard Arnault, Warren Buffett, Zuckerberg, you know, what do they all have in common? The one trait would be extreme IQ. I remember I was at the Berkshire Hathaway event. Warren Buffett was there. There's 18,000 people. He's in his 90s. So he's slowed down a little bit. And some Chinese like quant economist gets up and tries to embarrass. There was like a microphone and he's like, Mr. Buffett, I calculated how you, whatever, did your stock option valuation, da, 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 da. And he just, you could tell this Chinese guy had flown from China being like, I'm going to stump Warren Buffett. And he had all the math. And Warren Buffett just goes, let me stop you there. You made a mistake in your math and decoded this dude. I'm like, this guy's 93, I think, at the time. And just embarrassing a guy who probably had a PhD in math. So the thought that everybody can be Warren Buffett is nonsense. Elon Musk, you know, I did a TEDx talk. Everybody gave me shit because I said I read a book a day. Well, Elon's just came out. His sister just posted. I remember Elon growing up used to read two books a day. So there's highly, the first time I met Elon Musk one-on-one, I asked him, how'd you figure out, I actually just posted it on my social. How'd you figure out SpaceX without having a, you know, you didn't go to school for aerospace engineering. He's like, I bought a whole bunch of textbooks. I read it and I self-taught. That's a trait of extreme high IQ. So the genetic limits of wealth, like I said, you can be a millionaire without a high IQ for sure. In fact, there's a good book, The Millionaire Next Door. Millionaires and even multimillionaires, like people up to 10 million are not necessarily, but they have higher IQ. They're like in the 120s. But billionaires are in the 140s, 150s.
So you're saying to really, like, let's say if we're looking at, because you're talking about the greatest of the greats, really, one of the most wealthiest people in the world. Are you saying genetics plays a part to sort of get
the
pinnacle?
Yes.
Because I would contradict this and say, well, what about, like, let's say a book you recommended me a few weeks ago, The Expectation Effect. Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm a perfect example. I grew up in, you know, like, average, and one day I decided, like, this fucking sucks, and I picked up a book. Well, actually, I listened to a Jim Rohn CD. And I was like, huh, I can think differently. I didn't know I had these, and I started to have more awareness, change all my beliefs, and have felt myself becoming more intelligent over the years, completely changed and created a cool life for myself.
But you didn't become more intelligent. You expressed what you already had.
So would you say I had good genes from the start, or...
You had everybody. I don't like the word good genes. It's like you had your, here's a perfect example. Everybody has a glass of a certain size. So let's say this is your IQ or your wealth IQ, we could call it. So when you start reading books, you start filling it up. And there's going to be other people who have a wealth IQ of this. So no matter what they do, they will not outpace you and outcompete with you if you go head to head in industry. And then there will be other people who have a thing like this. But here's the good news. Being the wealthiest person in the world is nothing. It means nothing. That's why everybody should figure out what glass size they have and max out the glass size. The competition is against death and everybody loses. So you don't have to be like, well, people take it wrong. Well, are you saying Elon Musk going to make more money than me? Yes. Deal with it. Stop being a bitch. Who cares? That's like people can't cope now. They say mental health is going down because there's better looking people showing up on your algorithm. So they're like, women's self-esteem is plummeting and men's self-esteem. Why? Teach your kids. Welcome to the world, big boy. They're going to be people better looking than you. If you're a dude, they're going to be guys taller, more handsome, more fluid. What's the big deal? Death wins in the end. They're going to die. They're going to be in a grave, brother. 100 million humans are estimated to have lived and died. Some were great looking. Most weren't. And so it's better to have an acceptance. I was like, I'm not a Buddhist, but I try to take the best of all teachings. Buddha said, desire causes suffering. So if I say to you, you don't have the potential of Mark Zuckerberg, who's the first only human by age 37 to be worth $100 billion, who cares? If I had a choice between switch, I don't want to be Mark Zuckerberg. Mm. I call it the exchange test. I think he's interesting as a case study, but he doesn't live a better life than somebody who makes 200 grand. You know, it all depends. Most people are playing checkers. I try to play chess. I don't always do it, but chess is understanding that life is four pillars: health, wealth, love, happiness. So just trying to win on wealth, you can have a shitty life. I know so many billionaires. They used to come hang out with me in Beverly Hills. They're like, man, I wish I was you. Because I care about other things. And they got, it's called goal hijacking. You know, and I've met people who make way less money than me. I'm like, ah, I wish I had your life. It goes all ways. That's why you got to think more. Money, if money was the ultimate satisfaction, then all the happiest people in the world would be the wealthiest people in the world. But Elon Musk just posted a video. He goes, I don't think you would like to be me. When death comes, I will welcome it. Is that your role model? You want to role model somebody who's semi-suicidal? I admire those people, and I think there's learning, but there's no envy.
Yeah. I think I was literally just talking about this on lunch. It's like I think the ultimate successful life, at least for me, when people ask me as well, if one can completely understand their hierarchy of values and live a life as best they can in alignment with that, that is the successful life. Because some people would be like I take my dad, for example. My dad hasn't had huge ambitions. He's left Australia one time in his life. Very low risk taker. But if I was
that's very genetic, by the way.
In which way?
Risk taking.
But I'm a high, yeah. I'm a fucking skydiver.
Yeah, but there's sexual reproduction. You're only 50% related to your dad. It might come from your mom's line.
Mm.
That's why Homo sapiens have sexual reproduction. If you were a fern, you're a simpler animal, plant, I should say, and they don't sexually reproduce. People get that like, oh, I'm not like my dad. I'm like, well, that's not how genes work.
Yeah.
Spreads out. You might be like a great grandfather, great grandmother.
Could be. Yeah. My granddad was a boxer.
He used to fight. Mm. That's how it works. You have your 25% related to your grandparents, 12.5% to your great grandparents.
At which point do genes play a part in? So like my whole background, everything I've learned and studied is all in the mind, identity, yeah. Values, beliefs, all these things have form our reality. So what percentage, if there is percentages, genes play a part of how we've formed between the ages of 0 and 7 and 14 and 21? Because if I look at my dad, for example, I would say because of the way he lived, that was probably a lot that taught me to be like, oh, I don't want that. I want to have a business. I want to make money. I want to have more freedom, because he sort of just did the generic, got it, took a job, did the best they could. They did, you know what I mean? So what percentage do you think that plays?
Yeah, but that's your conscious mind thinks that. I bet you, and they've done a lot of studies called TWID studies, if you had been adopted, if you had never met your dad and mom, you'd probably be very similar to now. It's not like that. I mean, look, why are the two wealthiest people almost in history, Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos, orphans? They're orphans. The parents didn't have any effect on them. Look how successful. But I bet you those parents, they contributed their genes in such a interesting formula. You know, Steve Jobs had a lot of mental instability. He probably, oftentimes people who abandon their kids have mental instability. But sometimes narcissists, for example, abandon their kids, and narcissism is also somewhat positively correlated with IQ. Super complex. We don't even understand it. Ask me in 100 years, and like I said, we'll know more. But what we do know, there's a great guy, Dr. Robert Trivers. He's probably the most cited living scientist. He's the Harvard professor who is the head of the Harvard, or was, of the evolutionary biology department. This is new science from the 70s. We just decoded the genome. But I mean, your brain is following a blueprint that came through the genes in the chromosome. So it's highly correlated. I think our ancestors will laugh at our environmental stuff. You know?
It's interesting.
Oh yeah. You, grandpa, used to believe that this wasn't genetic. Like, you're so prehistoric. Like, we look at our ancestors from the 1800s. They didn't know about bacteria and washing your hands. We're like, bro, you didn't wash your hands after you went to the bathroom? We think that's prehistoric. That's how they're gonna look at us.
Yeah.
In 20 years.
So I don't know if there is a test or not, but let's say hypothetically, or maybe there is, we can do a test, we can figure out our genes, and it says, okay, you were blessed with good genes, like a better word, so you'll be this. Let's say, are these genes, they're not so good, so you're probably not gonna have traits, sort of take risks, be an entrepreneur, yada yada yada. The person who then goes, well, fuck, I wasn't aware of that now they've formed the belief to think that's true. Would they have not been better off to not believe it than to now believe that they were born not well?
Maybe. If your wife was, you're with her for 10 years and your best friend found out that the kids you think are yours were from another man, would you want to know?
Probably.
Why not just, ignorance is bliss, baby. Just raise somebody's kids for the rest of your life. Somebody else's. Would you rather know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got your answer. The truth.
No, but what I'm saying is, right, so like, let's say person B goes, oh, fuck, I guess I'm not going to try now.
Because yeah, but that's an incorrect interpretation.
Okay,
but let me give you a practical example. Many people, majority of people, have low risk taking genes. There's nothing wrong with them being an intrapreneur, not an entrepreneur, because low risk takers have higher anxiety. I've met people that start their own business and they're miserable because they're low risk takers at a genetic level. And so their anxiety, even if they eventually win, they suffer for 10 years. Those people would be better off to be the first or second or third employee in a new startup, not take the full risk. The richest guy I know, Steve Ballmer, he's the ninth richest man in the world, and he did not start the company. He told me, Ty, I was scared. Bill Gates and Paul Allen left Harvard and I stayed and graduated. That's a lower risk taker. You can get plenty wealthy as a lower risk taker. I'd rather see people not torture themselves. We have a myth, everybody should be entrepreneurs. That's not true. We know this at a genetic level. The reason nature makes some high risk takers and some leaders, imagine if everybody became a leader, who would follow? You know, 8 billion armies with everybody's the general. Who are they commanding themselves? So you're not going to have a world where everybody starts their own business, and many people shouldn't, but it doesn't mean anything negative. You can be the next Steve Ballmer. Mm. So you could still do it's better to match up with your genes. My mentor, Joel Salatin, farmer, he used to say, nature laughs last. So if you think you're going to outsmart biology, you're going to laugh last. Some people aren't meant to be married, you know, and that's a myth. Society thinks everybody, well, genetically, some people have higher dopamine, lower attachment styles, I should say lower emotionality, lower sentimentality. These are scientifically valid traits. And some people are very high on sentimentality and dependence. Those people will enjoy marriage. Mm. But if you got kids, you can't just tell them all, everybody get married. Probably everybody should have kids. That's more correlated with happiness, but marriage makes some people miserable. Mm. If I had sons or daughters, I don't want them all. I'd be like, no, not everybody get married. No, but you're higher on this traits. Yes, you're going to be very happy. Some people are super happy married.
Mm. What motivates you now?
I don't know. Adventure. I'm like a combination of my dad and my mom's side. So probably adventure meets intellectual realizations, maybe.
Are you familiar with, because I'm sure you do, like when you meet people, do you like psychoanalyze the fuck out of them? Like you think,
I guess,
yeah,
water sign, but I got her, I guess, Scorpio, not Cancer.
Right. So like,
I knew she doesn't like to be read. Some people, you can tell people by some people love being read. And so, I got you as a Gemini, yeah, the first bet. Yeah. That's my non-scientific part, astrology.
So are you familiar with like values levels, spiral dynamics?
Yeah, that's like, it's kind of the NLP-ish modern Maslow hierarchies of needs.
Kind of, yeah. It's like a bridge off sort of thing. Virginia Satir, I think, I could be butchering that. I think Virginia Satir, but there's like a whole other hierarchy of values levels.
Yeah.
So I was sort of thinking, I was like, I wonder like what values level tie is. You know, I was thinking like, well, firstly, no one's ever just one because we can be different. Right. Depends on why they did a certain thing. But you know, so I was thinking, I was like, so values level 3, essentially, we'll skip a couple, but 3 are the people who are, they want power, they want to be in control, they want to be the ones who win, they'll dominate others. It's like kill or be killed, like that, you're with me or against me type thing. 4s are the people who live and they love society, they love the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, the religious, that this is the good way, that's the bad way, judgmental, love the uniform, they fit and conform. 5s entrepreneurs, they're like, fuck, I want to create freedom, I want to do this stuff. And typically kind of what happens is when people go through that phase and they absolutely crush it, then they get to the point where they're like, this isn't what I thought it was all going to be. They'll transition into 6. And I was thinking, I'm like, I wonder if ties in sort of like 6, 7, 8, because 6 is more so they're like, actually, fuck all this materialistic stuff. Like I've killed in that space. What's next? And it's more like spiritual exploration.
But I was always there. My video was, you know what I like more, this Lamborghini?
Mm-hmm. Knowledge.
Not more than materialistic things. I hear you, but I don't think people morph as much. They may not express it, but it was always there. I was spiritual as a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Well, I think we are, because it's the. Cause then
personality
we
is very stable.
If we're looking at that, it's like, because values level 2 are all about tribal. It's like, so spiritual, it can somewhat be similar to spiritual, but also the ritual base and connect to the earth and these types of things. But then people go through that and go to like 7, which is, I'm like, I reckon you're probably there, because a 7 is sort of like, do you often feel sometimes where it's, you're like, fuck, no one can relate to me? Like sometimes 7s are like.
I don't think you should think that way. That's too narcissistic. No. You're always somebody. No one's that special. I'm not that special. Yeah, I think I got my own, which I think is kind of science based off dominant hormonal types. So you got 4 main hormonal type, and then the 5th is a wild card, testosterone. So you got people driven by serotonin. These are structure based people, don't like change. Denmark has the highest. Dr. Helen Fisher, she told me she thinks Denmark is the highest serotonin group she's ever met. Very orderly society. They never jaywalk. It's crazy. You go to Denmark, when that thing's red at the corner, be no cars coming and nobody walking. It's crazy high serotonin. I live there in Copenhagen. Then you have high dopamine people. That's what you called entrepreneurs. Dopamine people are driven by newness. America is the land of dopamine. So it attracted hypomanics, they call it. It's a good book called The Hypomanic Edge. Then you have high cortisol people, which are the threat-based. These are like people who like conspiracy theories. These are the, you know, those are all the people who leave comments on social media. All the comments, you're meeting the high cortisol, high Machiavellian people. And then you have high oxytocin. Those are the people who pair bond, who relate, who are empathetic and so on, sympathetic, empathetic. And then the thing about Homo sapiens, so I built this personality quiz called 12 Types, which is somewhat built around the hormonal. But the interesting finding, I've tested, 800,000 people myself over the last 8 years. The thing that I think is wrong with every quiz or every typology like you're doing is Homo sapiens evolved big brains. They always have at least 2 personality types. And the most complex people have 3 out of the 4 archetypes. So there's 4 archetypes in the way I think about it. So you have the archetype, which is the threat-based, the empathetic-based, the dopamine-based. Anyway, I've never met somebody. Dogs are low IQ. So your dog is like an IQ of like 20 to 40. They don't have the complexity in the brain to have 2 personalities. Humans, on that dog scale, the average human's a 100 IQ, and it, it's an exponential curve to where there's very few people, or I should say it's this kind of curve, right? So there's very few people with low IQ, a lot in the middle, and none, very few that are high IQ. But we're pretty high as a species. And so the thing that makes humans different is we're 2. Almost everybody I meet has 2 dominant personalities. And the really famous people almost always have 3. I've never met someone with 4, though. If you're dominant all 4, I think all those people committed suicide long ago. Like Nietzsche was probably a 4-driven person. A lot of the smartest people in the world's genes are gone, because if you're super intelligent, you're like Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Everything's vanity. You might as well blow your brain out, right? So we're left, all of us, even the people we consider smart, aren't that smart. None of us humans are that smart, because if we're super smart, we would have given up a long time ago. We'd be nihilistic, right? So you have a lot of 3-brainers, 3 dominant. Like Elon Musk is very high on cortisol. That's why he's like into civil rights. I'll save the world from free speech. He's very high on dopamine. He runs 3 big companies at the same time, and he's high on structure. He can build tech companies, which needs a methodical mind, but he's not high on oxytocin. In fact, his wife, I read that new book came out, said, I think he has no empathy. He struggles with empathy. There's an example of a 3 dominant hormonal system. The average person I meet, even entrepreneurs that are two. I never meet a 4.
Can you analyze me?
You're probably oxytocin people. You did network marketing.
It's oxytocin, love.
And dopamine.
And
yeah, you're a dopamine. You're like different stuff.
Jump out of airplanes.
Even your body language is like high dopamine. I'm high dopamine, high serotonin. Those are my 2. But then the wild card, you can look at your hand. A lot of people don't realize there's 20 scientific studies on this. There's 21. One says it's not true and 20 validate it. You can look at natal, when you're in your mother's womb, prenatal testosterone release. I have high testosterone, low estrogen. Are you right or left hand?
I'm right hand.
Okay, but flip your hand. Yeah, so you're like me. You're higher testosterone. So it's predictive that you got in fist fights and stuff like me. You're a higher risk taker. You have less fear. And
what are you looking for here?
This is your estrogen figure here. Testosterone here. It's not 100% correlated, but it's very correlated. You can see.
Oh, so if it's longer.
Yeah. I tell people, I did this on Brad Lee's podcast and the world went crazy. This guy doesn't know what you're talking about. I'm like, bitch, Google it. You ever heard of Google? Look at, it's called digit index ratio. It has nothing to do with palm reading, astrology, or it's just in the womb. It's just like with cows. You can look at the whorl of the hair on a cow. I got a big farm. I got a lot of cows. The whorl in a textbook in agriculture, you can see the whorl of the hair of a bull will show aggression levels.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not phrenology. It's not that pseudoscience. But anyway, this is not 100% correlated, but it's not your current testosterone levels.
Yeah,
it's like you're preset at a very young age.
Yeah.
It's super predictive, like who will not be happy. How many relationships have you been in your life?
Like legit ones?
No, not legit. There's longer than, not one night stands, like longer than a month.
Yeah, longer than a
you
month.
You saw the same, you
just
like
one women? At the same time?
Right. No, see, you were a high testosterone dude. You probably, more than 20? How old are you?
No, not more than 20. I'm 30. I'm in a great one now. I had one before this. I had one in between. That was about 6 months, but I was kind of like testing polyamory for a while, see if I liked it.
There you go.
That
was a high dopamine activity. Polyamory. That was invented by all the high testosterone. If you look at digit index ratio, and same with the women that do that. High estrogen woman is really doing polyamory.
Right.
It's like high estrogen is super correlated. But
I haven't had many though. Like I would obviously like multiple like women been with, sure, but not like commit, like dating, like maybe.
Yeah, that proves my point. You're few. Like, I've had a lot of women, but none of them committed to. That's a high testosterone activity.
Yeah, yeah. So what about the motivation types? How do we find each other's motivation types? Like,
I built a quiz, 12types.com. Mm-hmm. There's different quizzes. It's super complex. Like Can I find what?
Can you find a couple on me? Or like my motivators?
Well, then there's the four M's, which is separate from the hormone thing. So it's material things, mating, movement, freedom, mastery, status. You're doing a podcast, so you're going to be high on mastery status. Any social media influencer cares about appearance and image. And then you're going to be higher probably on freedom because you're trying to make a lot of people. You're probably lower on material stuff.
Well, let me see.
You got Yeezys on and expensive watch. You may be high on there. Mating, you'll probably be in the middle because you're not settled down and married.
What's up, Dream Nation? Have you ever wondered how far ahead your life would have already been if you had got access to this type of content at a younger age? Look, this is why I need your help. I'm trying to build the number one personal development platform out there to teach you guys the tips, tricks, and attitude of what it takes to live your dream life and to bring the type of education that we all wish we had in school. This show only grows by word of mouth and new subscribers. So it would mean the world to me if you could smash that subscribe button right now, leave us a 5-star written review or drop a comment below and share this episode with a friend. I would be forever grateful. All right, now let's get back into this episode.
So the 4Ms, would these have any correlation to values? Because I could say like one point I was very materialistic, like, you know, I think when you don't have it,
but you still got Yeezys, you still got a watch on.
But yeah, it's like it depends on the day, you know, like these are genuinely comfortable shoes and I like the look of them. I would probably, you know, if
exactly, you like the look.
Yeah.
That's the the difference between me, all those conscious mind schools, which you kind of like, which no hate on them. They're the four values of the Maslow. Anytime people self-diagnose, I get bored because it's just, you can't self-diagnose. Nietzsche was right. The mind's an impenetrable fortress. You only learn about yourself through friends and enemies. So it's very hard to be it. When people tell, the more aware someone tells me they are of themselves, the more deluded I know. It's not possible. I'm like, you really? You make your heartbeat. You control your autonomic response. You control your response. If you find out, if you look in your bank account and all your money's gone, taken by a hacker, some people have no emotional change. Other people at an unconscious level almost have a nervous breakdown. That's happened in the brainstem, the back of your brain. You can't just change your brainstem response to stuff.
Yeah.
So it's better to change your environment. See, that's what, I'm not a self-help guy like everybody thinks. So I'll give you an example. a self-help person meets a man or a woman who live in New York City. And they come and they say, Mr. Therapist, Mr. Tulum yoga expert, Mr. Ayahuasca person, Mr. Weed reggae guy, I'm experiencing high anxiety. I live and I must change myself. And the first guru comes to them and says, if only you take this ayahuasca and open your eye. And this person says, if you do your yoga and you meditate. But the wise man says, leave New York City. You can't change your brainstem responses. You are better off living in the countryside of Pennsylvania forever. And the fools are over here talking about the conscious mind and the way you, the narcissism of humans to say genes, which DNA is probably at least 1 billion years old. Okay. Many smart people think it could have been seeded accidentally from other solar systems, universe. If you're religious, you think it's God. And in the folly and narcissism and pride of men, like, I do 3 yoga classes and I change my brainstem. Why not just move, bro? Yeah. What are you doing? You're not a New York City guy. Your brain. I meet other people. That's like saying, you know what? I am, if somebody says to me, Ty, I found out I have a gluten allergy. It causes Crohn's disease and irritable, you know, it destroys my stomach. And the yoga says, if you only meditate, you will change. And the ayahuasca says, if you take this and open the eye, all of a sudden, well, I just say, stop eating gluten. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So there's a big difference between me, and that's, I'm stuck in between. My problem is I don't totally fit in with the self-help world, but I'm kind of a self-help guy. And I don't totally fit in with the intellectual scientist because they never apply their science to real life. So I'm in this kind of no man's land.
Just objectively, you know, looking at everything.
Yeah, I'm more like, all right, I'm going to apply the science, make it work for my genes, and that's the best I can do.
Yeah. So I want to talk about wealth.
Yeah.
So because I was thinking, like, you know, obviously one of the first things I was thinking about this, I was like, what's the first thing you need to do when it comes to wealth? You got to learn how to make money. Then next thing you need to do, you need to know how to manage it and keep it. Next thing, probably how to multiply it and make it grow even more.
Yeah.
So you've been this path for a long time. A lot of your mentors are billionaires. You've got over 30 companies or something, crushing it. Walk us through, if there are, what are some of the most important building blocks for that next phase of wealth? Like, for the people who are like, I know how to make it. Okay. I'm already got the businesses. I'm already doing it. I want that next phase. Like, How?
Use it. Know thyself, what I was talking about, the genes. So, I mean, it was funny. You were talking about the other day, you're talking about Mystery. He's like the most famous pickup artist. I was in Finland with him just hanging out. He's a very interesting kind of, I like mad scientist people. And he says to me, I said, what's your take on money? He says, you know, Ty, I have these sheiks and these billionaires that pay me crazy money to teach them how to pick up women and meet a beautiful woman and be not awkward. And I ask them their story, and most of them say to me, yeah, the reason I decided to make money is when I was 14, no girl liked me. And I'm like, and all the guys bullied me. I'm like, by golly, I'm going to make fucking money and show them. And then he's like, and then they make money and forget to use it to create a life where they got what they wanted. That's goal hijacking. It's like a dude who's lifting weights and all of a sudden he gets big biceps. So he just sits there at the gym every day doing biceps versus making a symmetrical body. And so, because it's easier. So guys who know how to make money, they're almost always goal hijacked. I've almost never met a rich guy that I would want to be them. Never. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that guy had a good life. Arnold Schwarzenegger he's to be studied. I know not everybody liked his stand on whatever, fuck your freedom or whatever, but the dude had a good life. I'm in business with his son on little business, investor in one of the things he did. But I think that use it. Money has marginal utility based on age. I talked about this at that seminar. I was like, a lot of dudes, or your seminar is like, I'm in Beverly Hills one time. I'm at there's this famous restaurant. It's kind of an open air in Beverly Hills. All the rich people show up there, the famous, the CRB scene. Here comes a badass Ferrari, like, you know, the $600,000 Ferrari, $1 million Ferrari. Door opens, passenger side, hot girl comes out. I mean, Beverly Hills hot, which means her face is like plastic surgery to death. So not my look, but she had to fill her weirdo face. Some guys think that's hot, right? So she gets out of the car. She's probably 40. Dude gets out. His assistant's following behind a car, brings him his walker. So the dude can get out of his Ferrari into his walker because he's 90. I'm going, why do you have a Ferrari at 90? It's a walk in front of that one. Yeah, it's like money has marginal utility based on age. So there's dudes who made their money. They're now 40 and they're going, I'm going to make more. I'm like, but when do you, marginal utility means use. When do you use it? That's like storing up to have sex when you're in your 80s. Your dick ain't going to work so well. You got to do it when you're young.
Mm. So use it on?
Use it on whatever.
What specifically?
Like if I had a kid, I'd rather
spend it or
spend it on. I like what Naval Ravikant says. He's kind of a modern day wise guy on to, not mafia wise guy, but actual wise guy. He says, if you must buy happiness, you can buy happiness. Mm-hmm. Not everything. Can't buy love. Love's a little harder, but you can buy proximity to people who are more likely to fall in love with you. That you can do. You can't buy love. You can buy escorts, but you can't buy love. You can, it's kind of like health. You can't pay a trainer to work out for you, but you can pay to create the environment that triples the chance that you're going to win, you know, at the physical body level. So to me, it's like buy the good life. Mm-hmm. So once you've got it, pick your minimum dollar and stop trying to make so much money.
So pick
your minimum,
the amount you need to earn to create the life you
want. Isn't that more logical?
Yeah.
You know, I always think of this Tolstoy, I think the Russian writer in the 1800s, he has this story. He wrote this short story and it was a king said to the peasants, I've got a contest. You come to me, a guy comes to him. He says, today you run around and all the land you run around, as long as you're back here before the sun goes down, that's yours. And back then, wealth was how much land you owned. So the peasant guy goes, I'm going to be rich. And he starts running this way. And he goes, and he's like, I should probably turn around because it's starting to get closer to dark. But he's like, I want a little more. So he ran a little. Then he started like, shit, the sun's starting to go down. So he turns around to come back. And he's jogging back. And he's like, oh, my God, I got 15 minutes. So he starts sprinting and sprinting and sprinting. And he finally makes it back. And literally at the moment the sun goes down. And he just made a big land. It was all his, all the wealth. And he died of a heart attack. And the king buries him. And Tolstoy says, how much land does a man really leave, need? 2x6.
About that much.
That's a lot of entrepreneurs. Like, I can stop and be happy. But this social media influencer says the purpose of life is to be rich. They're just running, and then they're 90 and they got their Ferrari. And I'm like, for what? For what? You're playing checkers. The game of life is chess. It's the ratio between health, wealth, love, and happiness. That's chess. I'm telling you, 99% of entrepreneurs, Forbes list guys, they're playing checkers. I see Jeff Bezos. Dude finally got in shape at 55. Finally got the wife I guess he likes. But
yeah.
You want to be Jeff Bezos?
So why
you want to get it at 60?
Why do you still work now then?
Because I think it's the ratio between health, wealth, love, happiness. I think you should never, a man and women, but men have high testosterone. All men have higher testosterone than all women, by the way, basically, if you take out anomalies. I tested my cousin. Her testosterone was 30. Mine was 1,200. So there's a big difference in men and women. Now, if a woman takes testosterone, she can get up there. But then she'll also grow a beard, which is fine. Although there ain't nothing more shocking than a woman with a full beard. Tell you that. They say beauty is subjective and societal. I'm like, no, it's not. And no dude has ever been like, met a hot girl. Great beard. great beard. It is not societal. Babies will run from women with beards. But yeah, I think so. For me, it's the ratios, and wealth is a pillar of the good life. So if I stop trying to make money, I will get more bored.
Yeah.
So it's not about that. It's just like, I know some social media influencer guys. He's like, I make more money than you, like, but I got a better life. So who wins? I'm like, dude, and this guy's probably worth $800 million. I'm like, dude, you're a peon compared to other people. So you can't even win. I mean, Elon Musk is not the richest guy in the world, Putin for sure has more than him. He's been leader of a country that's the largest land mass by volume in the world. And he just voted himself, you know, that he's going to be in power till 2030. He's a trillionaire. Although Bill Gates, if he hadn't given his shares to charity, he's worth $1.2 trillion. He owned 56% of Microsoft. So, I mean, this is a game you can't win. It's like trying to be the best looking person. By the time you do enough, then somebody else has already been born and has become come of age and is now better looking than you. It's an unwinnable war. So wealth, I just meet people. I saw this video. You ever seen the Kobe Bryant, Kanye West video?
I think so.
There's one, and it's kind of like the question is like, how much is enough? More. Well, everybody thought that was so genius. I'm like, that's fucking checkers. That's weird. I like Kobe. I interviewed Kobe, but I have no interest in that. You know John Paul Getty, who that is?
John Paul Getty.
He's like was the richest man in L.A. The Getty right. Center. He was an oil man. I think he's the first guy to be like have $1 billion in cash. And there's a true story. They made a movie about it. His nephew or son or something, grandson I think, got kidnapped in Italy on vacation, and they're like, we want $3 million, and the billionaire goes, I am paying it to you. I think it was $18 million. So they cut off, was it a finger or an ear, and mailed it to his only grandson, too. That's his legacy. And then he's like, even then, you know what the crazy thing? He wouldn't send the money till he got confirmation from his accountant that it would be tax deductible. Dude's a whack job. And in the movie, I don't know if it's true, a reporter comes up to him and is like, JP Getty, you have billions. How much do you want? He goes, more. Mm-hmm. See, to me, that's a mental illness.
Yeah.
That's not smart. That's a mind hijacked heroin addict equivalent. That's a heroin addict. That's an alcoholic. A little bit of alcohol is fun. More isn't fun. That's called in economics, so you have the efficient frontier. So in the optimal point on the efficient frontier, having no money, you're miserable. You're down here. Like, let's say this is happiness. Have no money, miserable. Make more money, happier. Get too rich, unhappy again. Mark Zuckerberg spent $33 million in 1 year on personal security. That means he's got all these threats against his kids being kidnapped. That's too much money.
Yeah.
You get a weirdo life.
Yeah.
So the optimal is, I read this. I like John Mayer. He's an interesting dude because a lot of dudes, I would say every billionaire, if they could have spent a year in their life that they lived, and then a year as John Mayer, they would have all been John Mayer. Mark Zuckerberg was like, John Mayer. You know, John Mayer, like, John Mayer is like, he had a good life, right? You know, he's good looking. He's one of the great guitar players in history. He has what I call the true love index. He was the true love of like the most beautiful women in modern history. Like, there's all like people went kooky over him. But he's like, you know, when I wasn't famous, my life wasn't that good. And then when I was on the rise, life was very good. And then when I was crazy famous, I became an alcoholic and depressed. So he went over the efficient frontier. So you want to be John Mayer in like on his ascent to fame. Because he's like, now I can't date a woman because I think maybe she's trying to get my money. Back when he was kind of famous. So I always tell people, everybody's trying to become the emperor now. You want to be a prince. Princes have the best life. The wealthiest people in the world are emperors. But as Shakespeare said, heavy hangs the head that wears the crown. Because someone's always trying to chop off your head. You're better off to be number two than number one. You're better off to be a prince, not a king. Or not an emperor, I should say.
So strive for everything you want, but just sort of know when to.
Yeah. Everything, too much water kills. I think a woman in Australia just died, a fitness lady. She was always teaching people. I read an interesting, maybe it was in Australia. Just recently, some woman died drinking too much water. She was like, you know, reading that humans are underhydrated. So she drank like 5 gallons or whatever. And she's like a little woman and she died. Yeah. So everything is on a sufficient frontier.
Yeah.
Well, even height, guys want to be taller. Well, I have a bodyguard guy who's 7'3". He doesn't do that well with women. Most women want taller, but they don't want freakishly tall.
That's fucking scary.
Yeah, and most women don't want, if you're a 4'11" guy, you're freakishly small. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even with height, they say like a 6'2", 6'3" guy actually does the best.
Yeah.
Not 6'6".
What is something that you see a lot of people do on their journey of creating wealth that is fucking them up? Not like in what we were talking, like too much, but they're sabotaging their results. They're not like, what's something that
they don't practice enough? You got to practice just like you would for like playing football or soccer.
How do you practice?
Practice like you want to do, you want to be good at podcasting, do 100 podcasts with an imaginary guest. Roll a camera. You want to be a social media influencer? You want to make viral videos? Make 100 of them that you just put in drafts. I mean, you can post them, but you make 100 of them just to practice. So it's all practice. You want to know how to build funnels? Build 1,000 funnels.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're good. Everything's on a 10,000 hour or 10,000 iteration rule. So people think, they don't realize it's like money is the most competitive thing on earth. Not everyone wants to be a supermodel. Not everybody wants muscles. Not everybody, but everybody wants money. I've been in like 15 countries in the last couple of years, the last couple of months, I mean, or 12 months, let's say. The only universal is if I bring a sack of money and I hand it to somebody, every person in every country will take it. There's nothing else I could give them. I could take a Lamborghini, bring it to 1,000 people. 10% of them were like, no, I don't want this car. It's going to be too expensive. It's weird. My grandma hated my Lamborghini. So what is the one thing that's, they call it fungible. They think that's about NFTs, you know, but the true use of the word fungible is it's like, it's interchangeable and it's a commodity and that's that money. And so people be like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and they don't realize they're now competing with 8 billion people. So if you knew you were going to play football or rugby or soccer on a world-class stage, or UFC is a good one, you know you're going to go John Jones, Conor McGregor, you got 3 fights in 3 days. Pick your people. George St. Pierre, John Jones, Fedor Emelianenko, Conor McGregor, whoever. Floyd Mayweather, if you're a boxer. The average entrepreneur is rolling in there, practicing on the day of it. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do well. I'm like, bro, you're going to get slaughtered. It's like the Rocky movie. I got to, what's your prediction of this fight? Pain. You can also spend 10,000 hours training for John Jones and still lose. So average entrepreneur is very, look, entrepreneurship is correlated with hypomania, hypomanics. People who are overly optimistic become entrepreneurs. So it's normal, but diluted. And then Mother Nature has to slap you around, but you can avoid the slaps by just practicing a lot, a lot.
You're not married, correct?
Correct.
Are you in a relationship?
Not now.
Are you a relationship guy?
Depends.
Like, are you? Do you think in your foreseeable future is getting someone, settling down, doing that thing? Is that a thing for you?
Probably not in the traditional sense. But I do think I do think you should have romantic, actual relationships. It's way healthier.
So how does one go about finding? Right, because I know I have huge, especially as a male, right? I've had lots of relationships. I'm in one now with an amazing woman, and it's like energetically being with one great partner become way more successful.
Yeah, some people do.
So what sort of tips have you got? So how does someone sort of detect or find to know these are the things we're looking for a life partner?
Kids are what matter. Love is an emotion. That's kind of fake, but kids are real.
Interesting.
Kids are real. It's a mind trick. People don't, it's funny how many smart people know nothing. I'm like, you know why you experience the feelings of sexual love? Your genes want to propagate. They need a new body. So they want you to have sex and they want you to feel attached long enough that you ensure that this baby was vulnerable for the first 7 years. That's why there's a 7-year itch. Because after about 7 years, people move. So kids matter. Love's great. If you can get it, that's great. But kids matter. Kids matter. Kids, your kids and your great, 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 they could be around for 1,000 years. Your partner ain't going to be. So the most important thing is pick somebody who's a sane partner that you get along with. If you live in Sweden, you don't have to get married. If you're religious in America and you think it's some you know, the most important thing on earth, great, do it. But it's all illusion, but that's fine. A lot of most people need an illusion. I mean, me included. Illusions are probably necessary. I told you, we're not, none of us are that smart. So what do you do when you have like a dog? You give your dog a bone. It's like a little, you give him a fake bone and he's like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. That's love. But kids are real. Kids are real. And so I think the main criteria is, will this person A, help you raise a kid and be sane and pass on good genes? You know, genes matter too. Mm-hmm. It's funny, schizophrenia, things like this, mental health is the most inherited, more inherited than even IQ. So give your kids a chance. Don't have, you know, don't have a kid with somebody who has major mental instability. If you're an alcoholic, do not have a kid with an alcoholic. If you have high anxiety, dilute your genes down. I know people are super up and in rage when I talk about that. I'm like, I know, because common sense isn't common. So what I'm saying sounds wacky. But like Einstein said, the thing about weird about smart people is they sound weird to dumb people. Whenever I talk about this, people are like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, maybe you're just dumb. Is it possible that you just are like, huh? But it's so obvious. Look, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Now, you can see that as this fall of society, but when there was low divorce, don't think everything was great. Men and women were in horrible relationships being abused. Divorce, I'm not saying divorce is great, but don't be a fucktard and just thinking black and white, like, oh, the good old days, the 1800s. You think your mom and dad, your great grandparents were happy when they couldn't get out of crazy alcoholic relationships? No. 50% of marriages end in divorce, partly, if you could say, the unraveling of rural societies. Like, I live with the Amish for 2.5 years. They have zero divorce. Okay, but they live in a different, they don't live with the same set of values or genes. They're highly monogamous genes. Some people don't have those genes. You think Genghis Khan is the great grandfather of 1% of the world. You think he contributed monogamous genes? Come on. 7% of Asians, he's their grandfather. So it's complex when you go out in small groups like the Amish, you'll see patterns, but you're not Amish, bro, most likely. And so kids are the universal everywhere in the world. Your kids and your grandkids matter. And 50% of people abandon their love partner, but very few people abandon their kids, especially women. Women rarely abandon their kids.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the stat, but it's probably sub 1 or 2%. Men are probably sub, you know, men abandon their kids much more, but so do lions. It's a testosterone thing. Interestingly, in species where you have role reversal, so like in seahorses or certain fish, the men carry the baby, so they have the largest gametic cells. Let's say your sex cells are called gametes. So women, like Homo sapien women, have big, women have, let's say, 400 viable eggs. Men have a billion sperm, right? So whoever has the largest sex cells in a species, they're much more careful about their offspring. So in Homo sapiens, women are careful and raise their kids, and men often abandon because they have a lot of sperm. In seahorses, it's the opposite. The females are like one night standers.
Fuck, you know a lot about a lot of things.
It's not me. I wish I was smart enough. This is what life are like. You know. So I think that at the core level, you can relax a little bit, knowing that we all have limits. We're not superheroes.
Yes.
So if you get in a relationship and it doesn't work out, you don't need to beat yourself up. You move on. This que sera, sera. But kids do matter. And so I think men and women should think a lot about that first. And then love can be right there as a close second, but not first. Love, anybody who's been married for 50 years, that feeling of love, rarely, they say like 5% of people keep the same level of romantic love from the first date to 90 years old. There is a small subset of people. They're probably crazy high on oxytocin. One of my best friends, Jeremy, his dad's like that, deeply in love. And you can see my grandpa was actually like that. My grandpa was very lovey-dovey. My dad wasn't. My dad was married 6 times. So my dad got a different set of genes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But my dad liked relationships. My dad would be in like 7-year marriages. That was kind of his thing. That was his circadian rhythm. And you can say, oh, this is a bad person, and this is, but that's such a non-scientific way. There's not that many things that are bad. What you should think about is trade-offs. So there's trade-offs. If you find one woman or one man and you have kids just with them, there's some advantages, but there's also some trade-offs.
Yeah.
You can have you don't have as much genetic variation. And that's why unconsciously some men and some women don't think it's only men who are promiscuous. That's not true. It follows family lines. Some families are more promiscuous. So the daughters are also more promiscuous. So the cool thing about the modern world we live in now, as we know a little bit more, we're still kind of stupid as a species, but I'm a little bit smarter than my grandparents, not because I'm smart, but because I got science. I now know washing my hands helps. Is you can design your own life. And that's what people should do. And the more you really know yourself, I'm not talking about yoga, know thyself, and meditation. Although I do like yoga and meditation, and even ayahuasca. Don't think I'm anti.
You've done ayahuasca?
I haven't done ayahuasca, but I've done some similar stuff.
Like mushrooms or something? Peyote. Yeah,
doesn't do as much on me. It's genetic. Some people are super responsive to shit. I'm not, like, alcohol and drugs, I don't get drunk easy. I don't get high easy. I find higher anxiety people like alcohol and weed more. If you want to know somebody who really benefits, who like, bro, when I do this, they're always high on an anxiety scale.
Yeah. So moving to the health side.
Yeah.
I got a really fucking weird one for you. Mainly because one of our guests earlier today, he's done this for 2 years. And I'm like, this is fucking interesting.
Drinks his own urine.
No.
That's a weird one. There's a dude on social media who's like, bro, secret of my health?
No.
He needs to look healthy, bro.
So this thing, I don't know if it's like a more trying to get self-enlightenment practice or like a male's discipline thing, but like semen retention.
Yeah.
What's your very view Eastern on this?
Yeah, it's very Asian. The Asians been talking about this. I don't know. I look at results. Does Asia have the results you want? They've been teaching this for a long time. I think most of those things are, there's truth to it a little bit. So if you have sex 10 times before you play a pro sports game, you're going to be tired, just like if you do 10 sprints before. But scientists have, this goes viral. It's good to go viral. I like what Charlie Munger said, avoid extreme ideologies. In general, you should not go crazy with sex and just like be a sex, what do they call it? Sex addict. And you should also not be celibate. It's like, come on. The thought that you need to not have sex and then you gain superpowers. I wish it was that easy. You really think the secret? You think Michael Jordan secrets where he didn't have sex? That's why he's a great basketball player. Like, humans don't have good logic, you know? I used to teach the 25 cognitive biases. There's about 100 logical fallacies. There's a ton of logical fallacies. Is it correlated or causative? So people who can retain semen and have that level of discipline, of course, they're more likely to be successful because the trait of discipline.
Their behavior.
Yeah, it's correlation, not causation. Correlation, causation fools almost every smart person.
But explain that. Correlation.
So correlation means like all fast runners have two legs. If you go watch the Olympics, every fast. So if I'm an alien, I come down to Earth, I go back to my alien planet, I'm like, the secret to being fast runners have two legs. And people are like, no, it's more complicated than that. No, I went to the Olympics. All the fast runners had two legs. And then they say, wait, that's just correlated. The causative factor in being a fast runner, cardiovascular, high twitch muscles, generally long legs. They call it the super gene. 10% of black men have it. Only 1% of white people do. So it's ability to put on muscle without fat. So if you really come from alien down to Earth, you would go back and say, look, of course, if we want to compete in Olympics, we got to have two legs. That's a baseline. That's called MED, minimum effective dose. But the real causative thing is we need to design a prototype human that has high twitch muscles in the legs, has probably a super gene. There's people like in Bolivia, the lung capacity. So it's super complex. So I like what Einstein said. You should make things easy, simple, but not simpler. The thought that the secret to health is just semen retention is an oversimplification. It might be one ingredient in 50. I wouldn't put it that high up there. Probably the most causative thing of health that no one talks about is like 150 minutes of deep sleep and vitamin D. The vitamin D is a close to magic. Getting the, I use an app built by a NASA scientist. I call, think it's called D-Minder. On when I've gotten in my best shape, like I'm always experimenting with different stuff. When I lived in Puerto Rico, which is one of the healthier places, almost no pollution, way out there in the Atlantic, you get sand from Africa is the only thing hitting you. And I was precisely to the minute hitting my vitamin D with the right amount of exposure. You cut body fat, metabolism shoots up, sleeps better. So I would say simpler things that people are like, I wear this ring.
Aura ring, is it?
Yeah, you can do Aura Whoop. I should get a kickback from this company. I promoted him so much. My friend Chris Paul in the NBA was an investor in them, so I hope I made him some money. But I think sleep is way more correlated. But even that's an oversimplification. I built like this 12 foundations, which is, so you have the four pillars of the good life, health, wealth, love, happiness. Each of them I break down three. So that's the 12 foundations. Each of those I break into three. So that's the 36 tenets. So I have like, doom, doom, doom. I've been teaching this for like a decade. So I think the three subsets of health, 60, 30, 10, would be like 60% of your health is sleep, SSD, sleep, stress, diet. 30% is cardio, strength training, the actual exercise, and 10% is supplements. But the big part of the pie chart, people forget. Like, dude, all the people I know in the best shape eat with precision, sleep a lot. I saw LeBron James. He's like one of the most longest lived pro athletes. He's billionaire from sports now. He's like, bro, I need 10 or 11 hours of sleep. And this dude's a genetic freak. I meet these entrepreneurs, I only need 7 hours. I'm like, bro, you're not a genetic freak. If LeBron needs 10, you need 17 hours. Like you, I'm like, this guy with everything going for him needs 10 hours. Einstein said he needed 12. People don't sleep enough. Our ancestors slept like a mofo. Lights is one of the worst things for humans. It's interesting. If you look at my Aura ring. So I don't know if you can see this. They have this new resilience thing. See where it says solid right now? So watch, I'm going to scroll back to when I was on my Amish farm. Look at this shit. Strong. It went to the highest. You know why?
Yeah, what's the difference?
I'm on my Amish farm in a log house, very little internet floating around, so there's no EMFs. You go. I designed that house to not have many lights, so when the sun goes down, you've fallen asleep at like 8 o'clock, wake up at 4. It's not so much when you go to sleep, when you wake up, it's how close you are to like the circadian rhythm of Earth. Part of that is sun up, sundown. So I think that's, if you had choice between semen retention and fucking sleep, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
You think LeBron James secret? The mofo, he's 6'8", 250 pounds of lean muscle. That's a lot of genes. A lot of genes. But he spends, I know his routine because Chris Paul and him are best friends, and I know Chris's routine. They do basically the same thing. You think semen retention is his? You think you'd be Ronaldo from semen retention? Again, I think where semen retention for dudes is smart is a lot of guys are addicted to porn. And all addictions taken too far are deleterious. They hurt success because you're becoming an extremist. So if you're like a porn addict, you should go semen retention. Or what I recommend, dude, get a hot girlfriend, just have sex with her. really, masturbation is not that good for people. You don't release the right hormones because you don't have a physical body that you're touching. So masturbation is what people should go chill on.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes are like just no real women. And same with women. You need Mother Nature. You need flesh on flesh. Do you release more oxytocin? There's tons of studies. Self-sex, whatever you want to call it, masturbation, women doing their thing, men, it is super bad for you health-wise. People go, if you're honest, you feel it in your body. You know?
What's one of the weirdest or strangest things you've come across to increase your health in any area?
I was going
to
say, one of the weirdest things you believe, I'm like, this whole talk, every one of the things weird. What was the question? Sorry.
What's one of the weirdest or strangest things you've come across to improve your health in any degree?
Physical, we're talking about, right?
Any health.
Live on an Amish farm. That one's good. You mean kind of that people don't believe? What's something that I've seen work?
It's just
that
something strange, like how, like, or like how you're talking about like the salt test before, or something that people would be like, that's fucking interesting. I didn't think that, or I didn't know that does that. I can improve my health somehow. Or...
Well, I think optimizing your entire life for 150 minutes of deep sleep is a big deal. You will have to restructure everything. If you have one KPI, can you, even me, it's hard. Like yesterday,
how,
I got.
How do you get that? How do you?
Dude, you have to do everything right to hit 150 minutes for most people. So you could see yesterday, I got. Yesterday I got, I'll show you. Oh, sorry. Today I got 145 minutes. I mean, sorry, 1 hour, 45 minutes. So that's 105, which is anything over 100. Now it'll vary for some people. Some people will easily get 150. Like young kids, if you're like eight, but I'm talking about as an adult, as an entrepreneur, hitting 150. First off, you're going to have to change your whole life from sitting. If you sit, you don't move enough to go into deep sleep. So you need like 15,000 steps. That whole 10,000 steps is like cheesy science. It's not real science. Like Lieberman, a paleoanthropologist from Harvard, actually studied the bone structure of humans and our ancestors. Men need to walk about 14, 15,000. Women's hips is like 12, 13,000. So you're going to have to redo that. You have to redo stress. You have to redo lights in your house. You have to, it's like, and you have to get out of big cities. Cortisol, there's a good book, Happiness Hypothesis, by the professor Jonathan Haidt. He measured people's blood in big cities. It's like 10 to 20% increase in cortisol. Your body actually detects all the rumblings of cars going by at the unconscious level as like slight stressors.
Yeah.
Because in our ancestral past, there was no, I mean, the buffalo came by and you stressed out because you're about to get run over. We're experiencing like continual buffalo going by. So I think, Rich, the second you make any money, you should buy a place an hour to 2 hours outside of a big city. And you should spend 40 or 50% of your time there. If you have kids, you should raise them 80% in the countryside. You basically, it's impossible to be, it's hard to raise kids 100% right in a city. Too much artificial video games, other kids in video games. You're not connected. How do you teach common sense, awareness, responsibility? People teach responsibility by having their kids, you know, okay, can you set the dining room table? You think that sets the bar very high for responsibility versus like Amish kids will be like, I remember this little boy on the family I live with, David, he was 6 years old and he forgot to milk the cow. That was his job every morning. And instead of the mom having to give him a penalty or all the weird timeout shit that parents do, and she just looked at him and she's like, see the cow there mooing? Like the cow's in pain right now. And like David connected the dots in a non-artificial way that my negligence has consequences. And so he went out and milked the cow. That's different than telling kids, okay, if you don't play video games, you get $5. So the bubble of urbanization is like, I got these big farm guys that work for me, these Amish dudes, they are stronger than all the guys I see going to Gold's Gyms and stuff. It's crazy. I have this guy, David Bontrager, manage one of my farms when I'm gone. And I've never been able to get him to go and bench press, but he's a massive dude. He's like 6'3", maybe 280 pounds. And I was like, David, I just was like, can you help me clean up the gym? And I said, you could try this if you want to know if you're strong. I was like, so I got the bar, 20 kilos, 45 pounds, and I stuck one plate on each side. And then I stuck the rack real high and I was like, can you set this up here for me? And he grabbed it with one hand, balanced the bar and set it up. Try to do a one hand raise with 135 pounds.
Yeah.
Around me, just set it up there. But he's drinking whole milk.
Yeah.
Never had the internet. Doesn't have any stressors of here's what other people are doing. So health in the modern world is kind of an oxymoron. You got to get primitive. You have to get ancestral. You have to get caveman to really optimize health. And if a lot of the stuff you look at guys like LeBron James and stuff, he's going in a cold chamber. He's doing 10 hours of sleep. Guess what you did when you didn't have lights? You would sleep 10, 14 hours a day, especially in the winter. So he's just going back to his roots. So most of the stuff that's all weird. So basically ask yourself, did it make your ancestors? And pick a tribe that was very healthy, like the Sioux Indians. Did they do that? If the answer is no, then it probably makes you unhealthy. If the answer is yes. So here's an example. did the Native Americans do semen retention?
I mean, I don't know. They slept with women. They definitely did. And the women slept around too. Women could divorce you and sue Indian. They would just, you'd wake up. If she didn't like you anymore, she'd put yourself outside the teepee. They're like, goodbye. That was their divorce. But the point is, they were the biggest, strongest. They ate meat. They slept a lot in the winter. They had relatively low stress. They went to war. That's kind of like business. So they had aggressive things. So I think we're basically just replicating all the good. Now, the ancestors had some stupid things, like not knowing about bacteria. But in general, go back to your roots.
Yeah. Dude, this has been great. There's been a lot in this. I love it.
This was a shallow podcast.
Where can everybody, not that they're probably getting to look too far, where can everybody find you on social media, see these new tests you've got out?
Yeah, go to 12types.com. It's free. And by the way, if you have a company, I'm rolling out a paid version for corporations to test their employees. Super good. I test everyone, new people trying to come work for me, new applications, existing employees. It's the only, you know what's crazy? I built the only psychometric test in human history that factors in risk tolerance. Dude, risk tolerance is a bigger predictor than almost anything of behavior. There's never been a quiz. I don't know what's wrong. Sometimes people are like, Ty, why are you talking about medicine? You're not a doctor. Why are you talking about psychology? You don't have a PhD in psychology. You know, why are you talking about business? You don't have a Harvard MBA. I'm like, because all those people have failed us. Where's the doctor out there telling people about the saltine cracker test? Where's the doctor talking about 150 minutes of deep sleep? You know, where's the psychologist talking about risk tolerance, about the genetics?
Facts.
So it's not that, and I do like academics, but for sure, academia has failed the world. So
cool.
Yeah.
A final question to wrap this up.
Yeah.
If you were to go back to your 18-year-old self, give him 30 seconds of advice, what would it be?
You know, I think I started this question. Now, everybody does in podcasts. I'm proud of myself.
You started this question?
For sure. I started this question. I've been podcasting like 2012, bro. And now everywhere I go, I'm like, are you reading me my question back to me?
When I started this, I'm like, I got to have some sort of question I ask at the end to keep people waiting. Yes. Like, what's they going to fucking say? And I'm like, that sounds good. So maybe I got it unconsciously from you.
Probably, dude, everyone asks that. There's another. I hear stuff, people teaching me back my own stuff. I'm like, hey, mechanism, you ever heard of that? I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? We're talking about this in 06. I'm 18 years old. How long do I have?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Ignore almost everybody because they're more lost than you. But when you find the one person in a specific area who knows what they're talking about, try to do everything they say. Don't pick and choose.